podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
This is the time of the year when we assess our lives and set priorities as individuals, as organizations. Even the government of the United States takes a moment, a long drawn out moment, of course, to assess and to set goals. And the president's going to stand up before the government and the nation at the end of this month, and he's going to give the State of the Union address. And just like everything else this president has done, it'll be must-see TV, I imagine. Believe me, it's going to be a huge State of the Union, a bigly State of the Union, and it will be the best State of the Union address delivered of all time. And anyway, you won't be able to miss it because the fake news and the real news won't let you forget about it for days and days and days until the president tweets something new and the news cycle changes. So, love him or hate him, that's who he is. This morning, we will look at the state of the church. And I can't promise that you will be entertained or that I am a sane genius, for that matter. But I can promise that we will ground this in a word from the Lord. So let's take our Bibles and open to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. If you have a pew Bible, that's on page 602. Ezekiel is one of the major prophets, so you should be able to find him. Ezekiel chapter 22, starting with verse 23. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has not been cleansed or rained on in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures and precious things, and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean, and they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and ill-treat the foreigner, denying them justice. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. So yeah, this isn't a feel-good passage of Scripture, is it? This is a passage of Scripture where the prophet Ezekiel, under the inspiration of God, was telling the people all of the ills of their society and their culture and the way that they had fallen away from God. And so there are really four categories of corruption found in this passage. There are the priests, the politicians, the prophets, and the people. We read about those just now. The priests, he says, they no longer know the difference between right and wrong. Holy and unholy, righteousness and unrighteousness. They break God's law by their poor example. They encourage other people to do the same. And as a result, God says, his name has been dragged through the mud. The politicians, called officials here in this passage, are like wolves. Rather than looking out for the best interests of the people, which is what politicians should do, which is what representatives and officials should do, they take advantage of them. They live off them. They make themselves rich at the expense of the poor. The priests, the politicians, and the prophets. Now, prophets are people that are supposed to speak out for God. They are preachers of the word. But instead, these prophets are covering up the evil of the politicians by lying. They make stuff up that is not from God. And then where does that leave the people? Well, the people of those days were racked with greed. All they cared about was themselves. They extort and they steal, they oppress the poor, they mistreat the foreigners. We have unholy priests, opportunistic politicians, lying prophets, and greedy people. That's the picture that Ezekiel gives us of Israel during his day. And as a result of all of this corruption, God withholds his blessing from them. And he's about to destroy the nation. And the Lord says, I looked for someone, anyone among them, a priest, a politician, a prophet, anyone among the people, just one. I'm looking for just one who will stand up for what's right. Just one person who will step up before me and plead for the nation. Just one person, but I could find no one. My patience and my grace is running out. I'm about to pour my wrath on them, and they will face the hard consequences of their sin. You get the picture. The entire culture is corrupt and couldn't care less anymore what God thinks. And God's anger is about to be poured out. It's reached the boiling point. And he looks for just one person who will step up. The language he uses is, I look for someone among them who will build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. It's really kind of a scary passage of Scripture. Think of it this way. Imagine a city surrounded by a wall. That is the way that cities were defended in the ancient Near East, but like this picture, that wall has been neglected and it's crumbled and there's a huge gap, a breach in the wall. And the people, as a result of that, are defenseless. And God asks, will anybody rebuild the wall? Will anybody step into the gap? Will anybody hear the voice of the Lord and muster up the courage to repent and to plead on behalf of the people? Will anybody fall to their knees and pray on behalf of the people? And in the time of Ezekiel, the Lord says, I can find no one, not one, to stand in the gap. So as we look back on the history of Israel, we can find some examples of people who were, in the past, willing to stand in the gap. In fact, according to Psalm 106, there came a time when the people of Israel forgot about the Lord who led them out of Egypt, right? God had rescued them from Egypt miraculously. They became a people with a land, and yet they forgot who God was. So it says, they forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. And like we see here in the book of Ezekiel, same situation. Things are falling apart. The people have forgotten who God is. And the Lord is angry with the Israelites. He's prepared to destroy them. The rest of this verse says, so he said he would destroy. He would destroy them. But unlike the days of Ezekiel, the days of Exodus that the psalmist is talking about here, as the Lord became angry with the people of Israel, he looked for someone who would stand in the gap. And the verse says, he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them. So in the days of Exodus, someone was found, Moses, who would stand in the gap, the breach, the broken wall between the people and God, and keep the wrath of God from destroying the people. Moses stood in the gap, and Israel was not destroyed. So, but here in Ezekiel's day, there is no Moses to stand in the gap. Jeremiah also talked about a similar crisis in his day. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1 says, go up and down the streets of Jerusalem. Look around and consider. Search through her squares. If you can find but one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive this city. Again, nobody found to stand in the gap. Nobody found to do the right thing. In the movie adaptation of J.R.R. Tolkien's book, The Lord of the Rings. This is the second movie in the trilogy called The Two Towers. Yes, I am demonstrating my my nerd and geekiness today. There is a stand in the gap moment. Right. I'm just going to show you a little clip now. The people of Rohan are under attack by the orcs and the forces of evil. And they retreat to a place that's called Helm's Deep. And all the women and the children are hunkered deep below in the caves. And the men are standing at the wall of this fortress to defend their people. And, well, I'll show you what happens from there. So that's the look on the face of a king. It's like, what now? What do we do now? Right? There's this huge breach that's blown into the wall, and the people are defenseless. And what I love about that one is the next clip, and I'm not going to show you it because it might get a little bit too violent. I'm not sure. You might not enjoy this type of thing. But there is an army of men who are willing to sacrifice their lives running with their swords drawn into the gap. To face the enemy, to stand in the gap. Now let's take this into today, right? 2018, we live in the United States of America, North Carolina, City of King, Quaker Gap. There, as the Lord looks upon our nation and as He looks upon our culture, what does He see? What gaps does He see? What grieves Him in our day? If He were to write a similar prophecy as He wrote through Ezekiel to the people of Israel during their day, what would He write in our day? I think when God looks upon us, He sees a culture that pushes His word aside in favor of public opinion. I think He sees a culture that's more interested in being entertained than educated. I think He sees a culture that is more interested in politics and parties than in truth. I think He sees a culture that is obsessed with wealth to the detriment of worship. And I think He sees a culture with access to instant information and social media, yet at the same time, this same culture is mired in loneliness and addiction and ignorance of God. A culture of talking heads running around in circles, trying to get their words in edgewise, but getting nowhere and changing nothing for the better. And a culture of churches struggling to keep their doors open while Netflix and Hulu are making a killing streaming entertainment into homes. And we could go on and on and on about this culture that we live in today. And the Lord must look at this generation today. And He must wonder, who will stand in the gap? Who will stand in the gap? Who will plead on behalf of this culture? Who is not so mired and neck deep in the filth of this culture that they are willing and able to step forward into the gap before me and cry out on behalf of these people? Who will repent and pray on behalf of the people? Praise God, there is one who has stood in the gap for all eternity. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all people." So the crucified and risen Jesus Christ stands in the gap today between a holy God and sinners. And he is truly the one who stands in the gap for all people. But it's still our job as the people of God, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, when we take sides with the one who has stood in the gap for us, it is our job to stand in the gap with Jesus for our culture in our day. So I want to remind you of a few things as we talk about the state of the church. One thing I want to remind you is, why do we exist as a church body? Why do we even exist? Why are we here? How did this happen? How did we get to where we are today? Well, if you look at the top of your bulletin every week, underneath the name of the church right there, there are some words written in italics. And those words, that's the vision of our church. This is what we're supposed to be doing. So it's a good reminder every week when you open your bulletin of why we are here. Growing or glorifying God by growing Christ-like people. It's our desire to glorify God, that he gets all of the glory, that his name is lifted up, as we grow Christ-like people, as we take people where they are in their lives and bring them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God the Father, by the work of Jesus Christ, by the fellowship of this body of Christ, to see people come to know Jesus Christ and to trust in him and to walk with him and to become more like him in attitudes and in actions. And that's what we're doing. So if you're becoming more like Christ in your life, then the church is doing its job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And everything that we do as a church somehow adds to this goal. All of our fellowship time, all of our worship, all of our teaching, our outreach, our missions, our children, our youth opportunities. We put over $300,000 into the offering plates last year. All of that giving, it's all designed to grow Christ-like people. People who know Jesus Christ and walk with him. People who will stand in the gap with Jesus. So with that thought in mind, I have a motto for you to consider this year at Quaker Gap, and here it is, fill the gap. Fill the gap. Pretty easy to remember, isn't it? Fill the gap. And there are a number of priorities I'd like to highlight this morning when it comes to this motto, fill the gap. It means a lot of different things. It might mean even more things than I have in mind today. You'll come up with more. Right? Fill the gap. So I'm going to start with the least important and progress from there. What these things might mean. The first is to literally fill the gap, as in fill this building, right? Number one is populate the pews. Populate the pews. We need you to come to worship, right? Ready to worship, ready to hear from God and to express your praise to him every Sunday. Excited, right? Like these kids running down the aisle to get to children's church. We need you to get out of your car and run up the stairs to come to... Okay. Take your time. We don't want anyone getting hurt, okay? But come on into the building and be ready to worship him. You know, you might even pray Saturday night, Lord, prepare my heart for what's going to happen tomorrow morning. Be with Pastor Jack and with the leaders of the church and with the music worship team. Be with all of them, Lord, as they prepare so that when I come to church on Sunday, Lord, I might hear your voice and I might be moved and I might become more like Jesus Christ. So populate the pews. And that means get involved in some of the other ministries of the church as well. You know, it's not just about Sunday morning. It's also about Sunday school and Wednesday nights and being a part of Bible study and filling the gaps in some of the choir seats back here. There's opportunities for us to populate the pews. And then in addition to that, to maybe think about bringing a friend, you know. I'm sure you have some friends who don't go to church anywhere. I'm not talking about you trying to steal people from other churches. I'm not a part of that at all. Right? I don't want people doing that to us, and I don't want us to do that to anyone else, right? But what I would like to see is there are people out in our community, some who know the Lord Jesus Christ, but aren't worshiping him with a body, that need to be here. They need to get plugged in. They need to be a part of what God's doing in order for them to function properly as believers and to grow in Him. And we would love to have the opportunity to bring them in here. But in addition to that, there are people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they need the opportunity also to hear His name preached. So I want to ask you to invite your friends to come to church with you, right? It's not that hard a thing. If you enjoy being here, then I bet your friends would like it too. It'd be an opportunity for them. And you know, if you don't want to bring them on Sunday morning, bring them on Wednesday night. Say, hey, we have a meal down at the church, non-threatening. Bring them to cornhole, guys. Bring a friend to cornhole and let them enjoy just being in fellowship with. Let's find some open doors to help us fill the gap. But there's more to it than just that. If that was all we wanted to do was fill the building, we could get some rock stars in here. We could have some clowns juggling. We could give out free cash. There's a lot of things we could do to fill the building if we wanted to. But we want to fill the building for the right reasons, right? A second way that we can fill the gap is to resume the renovation. All right, so you knew you were probably going to hear about this a little bit this morning. We have a gap situation here at the church between the fellowship hall and our new educational wing that's been spruced up and fixed up. There's a gap. You walk down this hallway, that's a gap, okay? Because the work isn't done yet. It needs to be done. So I thank you for your giving to the building fund. We need to continue to do that so that we can continue the work and get it done. So that there isn't a recognizable difference between what lies between this part of the church and that part of the church, so that it all flows and makes sense. And so that there is a nice wide walkway from one area to the other, especially on Sunday mornings between Sunday school and church. So start praying about that, start giving toward that, and start pressing toward that. However, I need to mention one other thing when I talk about that, and that is, do you like the warmth in here this morning? Yeah, it feels comfortable, doesn't it? It's good. It's good, unless you're sitting by a drafty window or something. This is a good place to be. Whether you know it or not, there is an invisible monster in our church that needs replacing. Probably we are living on borrowed time right now as far as our warmth is concerned, that we need to replace our heating and air system, or else it's just going to be kaput. And you don't want to be sitting in here sweating in the summer, and we don't want to have our coats on in the winter. So if we had to, I mean, if everything shut down today, we could all meet in the fellowship hall for a little while until we got it fixed. But there's already a plan in place, and the wheels are rolling for us to do this. It's going to be expensive, and you'll hear more about that in days to come. But we look forward to preserving the warmth and the cool in our church, and also perhaps saving some money in as far as the way that it's run as well, compared to what we have now. So we need to resume the renovation by filling the gaps between what we've started and where we need to be, building-wise. All right, so I said that we're going to get more important as we go along. The third one is man the ministries. And when I say man, that is a figure of speech. We need a woman in the ministries too. We need to do both, right? We just need to fill in some of the holes in our ministries. There's already a couple things on the back of your bulletin that need filling. One is our Wednesday evening nursery. Another is children's church. Children's church is now twice a month. If we had four more people to step up into that gap, we would be able to have it each and every Sunday. And so I just lay those needs before you, but there are others as well, or however the Lord has gifted you, however He might be leading you, there are opportunities for you to get involved in the ministries here at Quaker Gap. One of the ones that's close to my heart is our missions ministry, to help us to consider new ways to reach out to our neighborhood and to those who have needs. So man the ministries, fill the gaps, wherever you see them in the church, wherever there are needs, be willing to use of the Lord to step into those areas. So, in addition to populating the pews, resuming the renovation, manning the ministries, here are some other things that I want to lay before you. One is, plead for the powerless. I'm talking about prayer here. Right? That we as a church body are called by the Lord Jesus Christ to be people of prayer. We are called by God to spend time on our knees in private and together for the people of this world and for the brokenness that we see around us. That's the least we can do, is cry out to God on behalf of the people. I believe that that is perhaps the most underrated way to stand in the gap that there is in the Christian church, is simply to spend time praying. So we put out these great prayer lists. How many of us really pray for the needs of each person? Do we just look at the names? Is it opportunity for gossip, talk about what's going on in everyone's life? Or do we actually bring these people before the Lord? So we need to plead for those who are sick, for those who are hurting, for those who have lost jobs, for those who are homeless, for those who are hungry. We need to at least cry out to God on their behalf and to stand in the gap. But not just to plead for the powerless, but also to help the helpless. To do whatever it takes then to be the answer to those prayers. Here's what God does. When we pray for people who have needs, He puts it into our heart to think on our own, how can we be the answer to that prayer? And then to look for opportunities to step into people's lives. So if you're praying for a fellow believer in Jesus Christ who's going through a trial in their life, and you are really praying from the bottom of your heart that God would bless them and do good by them and that His grace would be shown in their life, suddenly the Lord will speak to you. He'll start to whisper in your ear, or the Holy Spirit will bubble up inside you and say, hey, why don't you do something? Why don't you find a way to be a part of the answer to this prayer request? Why don't you be a blessing? And then God will individualize that to you. Plead for the powerless, help the helpless. And a third one would be to lead the lost. Even in Stokes County, there are people who don't know Jesus. Now, I would venture to say that they've probably heard the name of Jesus, right? Anybody who drives down a road here is going to see a sign that says Jesus saves or something about Jesus. They've heard of Jesus, but they don't really know who He is and what He's done for them. Because let me tell you something, if they knew who Jesus Christ is and what He has done for them, they would repent of their sins and they would trust in Him and they would come to know Him as their Lord and their Savior and they would worship Him with full voice. If they really knew who Jesus was, well, they've heard rumors about Jesus. They've grown up maybe hearing stories about Jesus, but they don't really know Jesus. I think we all need to know Jesus, but especially those who are lost. They're wandering through life with no meaning and no purpose. And it's no wonder that we have a drug problem in our county. It's no wonder that we have a suicide issue in our county. It's no wonder that we see crime from time to time cropping up in our county as a result of some of these other things. You know, one answer we've been talking as a church about how to have security for our church, right? To make sure that we are secure when we come together for times of worship, which is important. But we also need to consider how we can lead the lost to Jesus Christ. Because there's the eternal answer to the problem right there of directionless and meaninglessness and purposelessness. We need to fill the gap, between those who really don't know Jesus and the knowledge of Jesus Christ that we have to share with them. So there are some ways to do these things. I'm going to give you three quick examples, and then we're going to call it quits. We're going to come to the table and be reminded of the one who is standing in the gap for us today. Some ways to do these last three things. Plead for the powerless, help the helpless, and lead the lost. If you want to do those things, how do we do that as individuals and as a church? One way is to consecrate your calling. Hey, I'm getting direct with you now. Each and every one of you has a job, a vocation, a calling, a life that you are leading right now. So when you go out from this place, you're going to spend the whole week doing something somewhere, right? And I know what it is for some of you, and I kind of question what it is for others, but you all are doing something. You're busy. You're out there, right? There's life being lived. Well, that is your calling that God has called you to. I'm asking you to look for ways that you can fill the gap every day of your life as you are called and led by God. To be God's person in the place where He has put you. Because He has put you in a place where He has put nobody else. You can have an impact in people's lives where you are every day like nobody else can. You are the only you that is in the place where God has called you with the gifts that He has given you. Nobody else can do it. So you need to fill the gap where God has placed you to make an impact for Him. To look for opportunities, however they exist, to be a blessing to the people around you and stand in the gap. So consecrate your calling. It just simply means this, that you recognize that the work that God has given you to do is not just work to get a paycheck, but it's a ministry. You are in the ministry wherever you go. Whatever God has called you to, you are a minister for Him. We need to fill the gap wherever we are. Another thing we need to do is enlist in the effort. Enlist in the effort. Get involved in what the Lord is already doing around us, right? I find sometimes the churches are kind of inward looking. We kind of, rather than looking out at what God's doing around us, we tend to think about ourselves. Okay, so one of the things I heard was when we built our new fellowship hall, people started talking about how can we use this to reach out to our community? How can we use this space, this building, to reach out to our community? We talked about different things like hosting meals and just opening up the place for people to come and to have meals and if they're hungry or you know, just opportunities for us to reach out to others through the space that God has given to us. And I think that we need to think those things through. However, I want us to also be aware that God is doing some amazing things around us already. For example, if you're worried about the hungry, there are ministries, King Outreach Ministry, East Oaks Outreach Ministry, Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, that you could actively get involved in. And some of you are. Some of you are volunteering there right now. And I praise God for you. Why do we recreate the wheel when there's already organizations that are doing this in a great way that we can just jump into and fill the gap there as well? If you're worried about the homeless, especially on those cold nights when you think about them, what about Habitat for Humanity? Here's an organization right in our community where they're building homes for the homeless, that they're thinking this through and they're taking action already. It's already being done. And all they're asking is that you would sacrifice some time and some effort to jump into that gap, to get involved in that. Not that we as a church have to come up with a Quaker Gap way of doing that homeless and hungry ministry, but we can look at what God's already doing around us and jump in, that's a part of our ministry as well. And that if you're worried about people that are in crisis, then how about getting involved in the volunteer fire department or the EMS and being God's person in that place, wherever He calls you? So we should recognize that the church is not just the place where we come to worship God and grow to be more like Christ, but we are also a sending station where we equip people to do the work of Jesus Christ and send them out into the community to do that work wherever God is working out there. I pray that you'll be involved. And then this last point is to build new bridges. To build new bridges. What I mean by that is we're going to stand in the gap. We need to make friends with people. Yeah, make friends. Say, I got enough friends already, man. I can't handle all the friends I have, right? And some of those friends, they're not really friends. But think about that for a moment. If you're going to reach people for Jesus Christ, you need to get to know people. So why not get to know your neighbor? Why not, you know, talk to some folks outside of these walls? Why not when you're at the school or volunteering somewhere, get to know folks around you and get involved in their lives and learn to be creative in serving them. And look at this world through God's eyes, right? What does God see when He looks at this world? And then ask Him, Lord, how should I be using the gifts You have given to me to serve the people that I see each and every day? And I'm asking you to be a spiritual entrepreneur, to start something new, maybe a new movement that the Lord will use to do some incredible things, to find a gap and to fill it. So, fill the gap is the motto, and you will hear more about this as we go along, but I want you to pray about it. God, how will you use me to fill the gap? I want you to dream about it. I want you to live into it as God gives you opportunity. And we want to hear more about this throughout the year. The Lord is looking for someone to stand in the gap in this culture. How will you fill the gap here in 2018? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, because he is the one who gave his life in order that we, through faith in him, might have salvation from our sin and, Lord, might have a relationship with you. We thank you for our Savior Jesus who has stood in the gap for us. But, Lord, I pray that we would be a people who would stand in the gap with him. Father, for our neighbors, for our culture, for our friends, for those who need you, for the hurting and the lost, for the hungry and the homeless, Father, for those to whom great injustice has been done, to those in our society who are weak, powerless, Lord, I pray that we would stand in the gap for them. So, Lord, open our eyes to the fields that are white to harvest and help us, Lord, to find ways to fill the gap. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.